All right. This podcast is brought to you by Thompson Island Brewing. Thompson Island Brewing Company is an independent craft brewery and a local restaurant that celebrates the coastal Delaware lifestyle. Named after an island in the Rehoboth Bay, Thompson Island Brewing Company features a wood-fired grill for favorites that are reminiscent of beach picnics and bonfires. For more information, please visit thompsonislandbrewing.com. All right, this podcast is brought to you by LifeWork Bookkeeping Solutions, LLC. Call 610-324-6895. Bookkeeping for professionals and small business owners, personal finances, QuickBooks training.
So, this is where we start. My heart on a string, dangling, alone in a crowd. Arrows raining down, missing their mark. Well, their intentions are clear, but they fall on deaf ears. Left the key in the door, left the door wide open. Minutes last for days. Another chance to say how I long for another chance to show how I bleed for. Am I killing more than time here? Have I gathered more than death fears? Should I let go or press on? Whoa. Should I give up the ghost? Tell me. But then I heard the sound of your voice, a melody wrecking me, a remedy for what ails me. I'm powerless, feeling paralyzed, oh, defenseless. Tongue-tied and turned around, oh, I'm sinking. Oh, hands tied, handcuffed, I'm over a barrel, I'm falling. Ticking of the clock reminds me it's late in the game. Is it time to cool these engines? Just shut it down. But then I heard the sound of your voice, a melody wrecking me, a remedy for. I hear the sound of your voice, a melody still wrecking me, a remedy for. A remedy for what ails me.
Nice.
Thank you very much.
Paul Donovan, what's up, brother? How are you doing?
It's great to see you. It's great to be here.
Dude, you, I think all I could picture was like you are an ex glam rocker.
Pretty close to
Am I right here?
At one point, yeah, there was about 7-8 years. That's what I was doing.
You know,
long hair.
Yeah. I love, you know, you can kind of, you know, we've had a few people on. I've had young people on. I've had some older people on. You know, and I say older as in our age,
sure,
right?
Sure, sure.
And I can hear this kind of like, you know, Saul Knopf, is, he's got his genre. But
yeah,
you and
yeah,
I,
yeah.
I, you, like we would have hung out back in when we were 17 and 18.
That's right. Yep.
That glam rock kind of days. That's, you remember the movie Rockstar?
Yeah, yeah. Mark Wahlberg.
Remember the end where he sits down and he plays...
I know I can be colorful.
Holy shit, right there, man. That is it.
I got a great story about that song.
That is so funny because that when I was listening to that, I could hear that, but I was also sounding like Old Faith No More.
Yeah, sure.
I saw them at the Bacchanal in San Diego. That band was amazing.
God. Yeah, they were great.
But he's still around, but he's still that, you know, you kind of come out of that glam time and then you're like, well, now what do I do? But there's a place for it.
Grunge killed it. You
know? Yeah, well, don't even get me into Pearl Jam. That's my jam right there. Do you like Pearl Jam?
I do. I like early Pearl Jam. I kind of drifted away for a while, so I don't know any of the later stuff.
I can bring you back. I can pull you in.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I might have to reprogram you. But those days, you know, and then you think, well, what do we do? You know, like we were just I've been getting into Hair Nation on Sirius Radio
because
I just dug up some old Bon Jovi. Early Bon Jovi was so good. But then you're like, when it's all said and done, then what do I do? And, you know, you find a niche. But that voice, it's so glammy. I love it.
That's a compliment.
So. That is a total compliment. And if you grew up in those times.
I sure did.
That's
David
like Bret Michaels.
White Snake.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They're out on tour right now doing their final tour. I guess he's about 70, so.
And I saw a clip. He looks good.
Yeah, he looks great. But you can hear some of the high notes. He'll point the mic out to the crowd and let them hit the high notes.
Sure.
So,
dude, Pearl Jam just went back out on tour, and Eddie still sounds fantastic.
Good.
But he may point the mic every once in a while
for them
high notes. You know, listen, and the crowd loves it.
Yep.
We love a help. We love
to
help.
I can remember
out.
The exact day I was with my drummer and my band walking into a club, and up on the screens they were playing music videos, and Nirvana came on.
Yeah.
And I'll never forget. I can remember like it was yesterday, my drummer going, "What is this crap?"
Yeah.
And that was like the end of hair metal.
Kiss of death.
For a while, anyway.
Well, and I was a huge Guns fan. And yeah, it was like, eek.
Yep.
Bye-bye.
The end.
Goodbye.
It was like overnight. You had to wear flannels and Doc Martens and, you know.
Well, and that movie Rockstar really kind of captures that.
He,
you know, and I think that's loosely based on Judas Priest.
There was a guy that filled in for Rob Halford.
I
can't remember his name.
I forget his name.
Ripper Owens.
There yeah, Ripper Owens. But he, you know, but he would sing along.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's exactly kind of how it went down, but he stepped in for Rob Halford and then performed and then left. And Rob came back into the band. But at the end of that movie, it's so cool because it's this kind of this kid loving rock, huge fan. Pulled up on stage, lives this career, and then spit out at the end. And where is he at? He's in a coffee shop with an acoustic guitar, but still figuring out a new way to use that glam metal voice.
Right. Still a
I love it.
Voice.
I could hear it. As soon as you started singing, I'm like, I know this guy's story right now.
What, man, that's a great compliment. Thank
no,
you.
Listen.
You made my day. So
That was our music, right?
Yep.
I mean, that's when, how old are you?
57.
Okay, I'm 50. I'm going to be 54. So you were a little older than me, but
you
know, Journey. Oh my God, it was. You know, we do this Discovery Music podcast, and I wanted to bring. I was bringing in some live music, and I wanted to bring that Journey album. You know, where he does Lights and one of the. I wish they would go back and re-record that or reproduce that album and remove that crowd that sounds like they piped in.
Right.
It's so, you know, back in the. You know, 70s and 80s, people loved a good crowd.
Sure.
But now it's like, okay, less crowd. I love the live performance. Pearl Jam was a great band because Pearl Jam would, you know, they're almost better live. And that didn't always happen.
Right.
So, so let's, first of all, thank you. Thanks for coming on the podcast.
It's a pleasure. Thank you.
Yeah. You know, I was telling you before, I'd love to somehow try to recreate that tiny desk YouTube channel he brings in these people. And, you know, we do the Rehoboth Social Podcast. And this is, so this is the Delaware Live Music Podcast, part of the social, Rehoboth Social Podcast, right. Part of the Social Podcast Network.
Wow.
But the idea was like, you know, let's promote, you know, small business. And then I'm like, giggers are small business.
That's right. Yep.
And quite honestly, they're a little more interesting between you and me.
The artists always have skeletons, you know, they've got great stories and yeah.
Well, and it's a hustle. And, sure. You know, it was fun having like Saul on, you know, I've known of Saul for 20 something years. And I think we shared in the podcast that the first time I saw him was at the country club and he had an array of equipment, right? Mm-hmm. And now he's an iPad man.
Well, they've made it so small. You
know, yeah.
You can probably do it with a memory stick these days.
Exactly.
So, but he's a big, important part of my life. I got to tell you, I had kind of stopped playing. Wasn't doing it anymore. I was over it.
You were?
And I was working at a music store in Dover, B&B Music.
Okay.
Iconic music store that recently closed a couple of years ago after.
And you and
50
I come
years.
From the days of, we used to go, I know, I should speak for myself, but I loved going to the music store and just hanging out.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Hanging out. I have a good story about that, too, but I'll stick to Saul for a second. I was in the acoustic room tuning guitars, playing, and he came in and said, dude, do you play out? I said, nah, I'm done. Those days are over. Well, he talked me into going back out, and I was going out and gigging with him for a while.
Nice.
And watching a pro at work, you know, and he kind of pushed me on my way, like the mother hen pushing the chick out, you know, go, it's time to fly. And so I started doing what he does, not at his level for sure.
Right.
But I've been doing it like crazy for the past 8 to 10 years, and COVID put the kibosh on that for a little bit.
Yeah.
As it did for everybody. But I'm slowly getting back into it. I moved back to Delaware last year and slowly easing into it.
You know, it's one thing when they say, yeah, you can, what do they call it? Going out, or what's the term? I call it gigging. What do you?
Gigging, that's what I call it. Yep.
So it's one thing when you're gig and there's opportunities and you're like, eh. But then all of a sudden they're like, no gigs for you. And you're like, right. Wait a minute. Now I want to.
Yeah, that didn't hit me so well.
No,
my brain was all full on music and now I can't do it.
Yeah. You know?
And even like as on the side note, I'm an itinerant worship leader. I lead worship at a whole bunch of churches and all of a sudden the churches couldn't meet. So I couldn't do that either. So what am I going to do? So,
right.
Yeah, it was not good being inside my head there for a while. And
well, it sounds like it was good that you had like some faith in your life that kind of could carry you through.
That was awesome. That and a great wife. My goodness, my best friend. If it wasn't for her, I probably wouldn't be here today. That's for sure.
Wow.
So, thank goodness. But thank
goodness
Saul got
her.
Me going.
Yeah.
You know? He really did. And I owe a lot to him. He's just a good human being, too. That's what I like. You know, those crazy rock star days we talked about, those are crazy people and crazy days, and I'm too old for that.
Well, and crazy goals.
Yeah.
Because,
that's true.
I grew up in Albuquerque, you know, and I was trying to explain to my wife, my best friend, that, you know, at 18 in a town like Albuquerque, you know, everybody's goal was to get to L.A.,
right.
to get to Hollywood.
Mm.
And I had, you know, we had some band, Kiki Blast, there were some local guys, my local friends doing local stuff. And, you know, every once in a while, one would break it like a, you know, like a that globe, you know, that the blobs rise.
Sure.
One little would break off and head to Hollywood. Ah. And I eventually would move out to San Diego. And this is like, right. I saw Guns N' Roses at Montezuma Hall, which was basically San Diego State University's cafeteria.
Right.
I mean, that is, I mean, you know, that's luck.
Yeah.
Right. And then we ended up seeing them Falling Night up in L.A., up in Hollywood. But I was living in that time.
Yeah.
You know, Sunset Strip, just to the Troubadour, the Roxy, it was a good time. But it was, the goals were not to be an amazing musician, at least not in mine. It was about scoring chicks.
Right.
Right.
Sure.
That's how we thought back then.
Yep.
But then you kind of come through it and then you're like, all right, did I learn enough? Did I build enough education in this instrument that I can carry it on past the glam rock days?
Yep. Well, I'm surprised we didn't cross paths at some time or another. I was up north for 12 years. I was near San Francisco.
Okay.
And the goal before you're big in the club days was this club in San Francisco called The Stone.
Yeah.
And finally got to play there. There was no one there, but we finally got to play there. The headliner, someone in the headliner band couldn't make it, couldn't do the gig. So all the people coming were coming for them.
Yeah.
So there was hardly anybody there. And but I remember in the dressing room, there was pictures of bands that used to play there. And there was Guns N' Roses before they were big.
Wow.
So I was like, wow.
Well, and I think San Francisco.
Maybe someday.
I think Bay Area, I think Metallica.
Yeah.
Metallica was like my connection to the Bay Area.
And Testament was really big then. And, oh, you said Faith No More. They were huge.
I saw Testament. I saw them at Iguanas down in Tijuana.
Wow.
And you know who they opened up for?
And oh, man, I have no idea.
Soundgarden.
Oh.
So I got to see Soundgarden at Tijuana.
Fun. Wow. Yeah.
Well, and, you know, it's a funny time. Those were just really, being an adult has been really great, but sure. It was like the highlight of my life, those times, you know.
Great
just,
times.
Yeah, just a lot of fun. So what is it like now? I mean, I tell you what, can we do another song? I'd like to try to get a few songs in there because this is about you. This is about listening to you play your craft, and I love it. So all the music you're playing today is all original.
Yes. Yeah, it's all mine.
All right. So what do you got
for us? I don't mean to keep harping on Saul, but he was the one who told me, you really need to start writing. You need to start writing. I hadn't written since those hairband days many, many years ago. And because of him, I started writing. So, yeah, I owe so much to him.
We love you, Saul.
But I mentioned my name, my wife, my best friend, and this was the first song I ever wrote about her.
Okay.
And there's a story there regarding Saul. I'll tell you in a second.
The last thing I remember before my fall, the words don't let me down, but as I recall, I did once again, I broke my word and broke your heart. One thing right, I never let go of you. The years go by, I still don't know where I'm going, but I go with you. Never promised a once upon a time when I said to you, I said, for better, for worse, no matter which way the scales tip, and I do, I promise you this, I'll never let go of you. We'll stand, never let go. When bridges burn, I'll run to you. Never let go. When the sky ahead looks dark, I'll light your way. I'll never, no, I'll never, never let go. Through all the tears of joy and pain, oh, we've cried a river. So I built us a boat so we could sail it together. Hold each other close to our hearts, oh, and we will never let this world try and tear us apart. I never let. miles apart we'll stand. When the bridges burn, I'll run to you. And when the sky ahead looks dark, I'll light your way. I'll never, no, I'll never, no, I'll never, no, 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 I'll never, never let go. Oh, never let go. No.
Dude, that is excellent.
Oh, thank you. Thank
that
you
is so. Much. You're warming up. You're getting out there now.
I'm making sure I move my head away for you when I'm.
No, I love it. One of the challenges about doing this is that unfortunately my free time to do this is in the morning, mm-hmm. and most people that are doing gigs are usually not early risers. And
I am now.
Yeah, and they're usually not quite ready to start singing at 11 or 10 in the morning. So thank you, but you sound great.
It's a pleasure.
I love it. So what's the story about the song, the Rockstar song?
So back when Saul first started asking me to come out and play.
Mm-hmm.
The Rockstar song. Wait a second. Hold on a second. I'll tell you that, too. I play a lot of cover tune gigs. That's what pays the bills.
Yeah.
And, I have an agent I use, and he tells me, there's places that tell me, you're the best musician they've ever had in there, but they don't like your set list. Because I do a lot of what they call the deep cuts, the ones that you don't know. I'm not a Margaritaville guy, Brown Eye Girl. That's not my shtick.
Right.
You know? I'd rather play listening rooms where they're really into music. You know? Like you and me would be cool listening to cool music. But some places you play, they just want background music. And I was playing a place one night, and that's what they wanted. They wanted background music. And I'm playing, and I went into that song, Colorful, from Rockstar.
Can you play that song?
Oh, sure.
Can I make a request? Is that possible?
I'm happy to play that song.
Is it the Verve that does that song?
It is the Verve, that's right.
And you know what's funny is that I didn't...
Hit the Freshman, I think, was their first
hit. Yeah, the Freshman. So I did not... I did not know where that song went, right? You know, I remember the movie, and I remember the song, and I was like, oh, what a great song. And didn't really... Maybe had looked into it at some point, but now we have so much... opportunity to find music, and I was looking at the Freshman song, and then I was like, wait a minute, that's the song from Rockstar. And
that's
then I
right.
played it, and I go, that's the guy. I always kind of thought it was Mark Wahlberg singing it.
I'd be cool if it was. I don't think so. It was a guy, the main guy was, oh gosh, I can't think of his, he spent some time with Journey after Steve Perry left. I can't think of his name. He sang, and then there's another guy from a German hard rock band that I can't remember his name.
Yeah.
It was those two guys.
Yeah.
But no, I don't think Mark sings.
Well, and that was...
He did a good job lip syncing, though, didn't he?
He did a great job. And I wonder, today if that would have been almost, not demanded, but right, like we saw like, Walk the Line. Remember with the guy, oh, geez.
Oh, from Step Brothers. I never saw it. No, not Step Brothers. That was Walk Hard or something.
You never saw Walk the Line with the... who did?
Joaquin Phoenix.
And he sang all of it.
Wow, really?
Dude, you should... You never watched that movie?
He's a great actor. I didn't know he could sing.
You should watch that. He does all the singing, does it very well.
I'm on it. I'll check it out.
Yeah, it's a very... I mean, that... Just the fact that he did all the singing really... grab my attention.
Wow, I had no idea.
And I actually think that the guy that played Ray, you remember the movie Ray?
Yes.
Fox?
Jamie
Foxx?
Jamie Foxx.
He did all the singing too.
Wow. I got another one for you. I was told that Val Kilmer did all the Doors singing in that movie about the Doors.
He did.
That's crazy.
That dude.
You and I are nerds. We knew a lot of cool info, huh?
That was a great movie, man.
It was a great movie.
I was like, I like the Doors now.
The scene, when they did that song in that club, that was fantastic.
Yeah, he did all the singing in that as well.
Where's Val?
I'm
your Huckleberry.
Well, if you don't mind doing one cover.
No, I'll do Colorful for you. I love that song a lot. But I'll finish the story about
Please.
So I was playing a place where it was just background music, not many people paying attention. And over on the right, there was a table with four ladies, and they're all drinking and having a blast. It was ladies' night. And I did that song. And when I got done, I kind of was like looking around, tuning my guitar, and I look up, and there's a woman standing right in front of me with tears rolling down her cheeks. I mean, I'm crying hard. And I'm like, "Are you okay?" And she said, "My husband died a couple weeks ago, and that was his favorite song, and I've never heard anybody do that song." And I'm like, "Ah." So for you club owners that think, "Oh, if you're not doing Margaritaville, you're out," that tells you right there, someone's getting it, you know. And I made that woman's night.
Well, there's and I think that as great of a song as it is, but it's a great story.
Sure.
And if you've watched that movie, it is an amazing story, because I think that movie's like all of our, you know, if you're a kid that grew up in the 80s and metal music and love that kind of music, you know, that's our life.
I was living that out.
That was our life.
I never made it to that side, that level, you know, concert level, but that's what we were doing. We were striving for that.
You know, and I'm sure you will agree. And it's, you know, it is, I guess it's just part of becoming an old curmudgeon-y old man like I am. But, you know, it doesn't seem like there's not a lot of loyalty anymore to music. You know, when you and I were kids, you know, our band put out an album, and that was it. We loved that album. We played it until the band put out another album.
Right.
Right. And now, you know, my son, and he's just as an example, and this is, I think I hear it all the time, but, you know, my son was a big 21 Pilots fan.
Mm-hmm.
Loved. I mean, I don't know how much money I had to spend to get this kid in front of the 21 Pilots band. A couple trips, right?
Right.
And, but last night he tells me, "Yeah, I'm throwing away my 21 Pilots flag. Should I throw it in the trash?" I'm like, "Excuse me?"
Right.
And he goes, I don't like them anymore. I'm like, "But that was your band."
Right. You know? At least put it in the attic, and maybe 30 years from now you could sell it.
It was my love for my son loving a band.
Oh, that's almost a great memory.
Yeah, but I'm like, I almost want to keep the flag. I mean,
right.
I never turn my back on artists.
Mm.
I never do. I'm a big fan. And the door is always open for artists. I think it is an amazing gift.
Yeah, music is amazing. You remember when we were young, that group Triumph?
I saw them live.
Well, they had that song with the
Rick
line,
Allen?
"I've got the magic power of the music in me." And that, and I remember that. Boy, that was probably like 81, 82.
Was that Rick Allen? What was it?
Rick Emmett.
Rick Emmett. Oh, my God. Playing that fly in the Dean.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Man, oh, man.
I saw them in concert. I was in like 7th or 8th grade.
Yep. Awesome.
I grew up in a town in Albuquerque where every band came through.
Right. Sure.
And we lived 10 minutes from, the rodeo place, you know, because they all played at it's like Harrington, but in New Mexico.
Right, right.
And I saw everybody. I saw Randy Rhoads.
Wow.
Randy Rhoads and Ozzy. Yeah. The only band that I never saw, which I wish I had, was Journey in Boston.
Right. Oh, man. No, I haven't seen you. My wife's seen Journey a bunch of times, and she brags about it because I've never seen
him. I would have loved to have seen Steve Perry.
I've seen Neil Schon a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and their new version was good, too, but the way Steve Perry was back in those days was just, it was amazing. So.
Yeah. He was the greatest.
Yeah.
The GOAT, they call him.
The GOAT.
So, yep.
Well,
no
and
doubt.
I think he, you know, and we're seeing, Bon Jovi, and I mentioned I just dug out my old Bon Jovi, but, you know, John's struggling a little with his vocals, unfortunately, and he's taking some heat, unfortunately, on social media. Steve Perry was like, "I can't hit the notes, I'm out."
Right.
Which I was like, "What? Let us be the judge, right. Steve. Let us boo you off
we'd
stage.
We'd still like to hear him.
Yeah, we'd like to see you try."
His
point
worst
the
night
mic.
Is still a great night.
His worst night is still an amazing night.
I like the songwriter Donovan Woods. He's out of Canada, but he writes for other people as well. And when I saw him about 3-4 years ago in Philly, I was right up at the stage because it was just a little tiny club. And he at the end of the show, the band left, and he came out to the edge of the stage and said, "So, anybody got any requests?" And I put my hand on him, I'm like, "Yeah, man, do." And it was a song called "Between Cities."
Mm.
And I said, "Yeah, Between Cities." And he's like, "Man, I can't. Anybody else got anything?" And I'm like, "What?" And so a couple months later on social media, he posed the question again, "What are your favorite songs of mine?" And I messaged him and I said, "Hey, Between Cities, and I asked you to do it, and you said you couldn't do it." He told me it's because he was having a rough night with his voice.
Yeah.
And that song would have been a little tough, and he didn't want to sound bad. And like Steve Perry, I'm like, "Man, your bad night is still better than most people's good nights, dude."
Yeah.
No one would have noticed except for you.
Yeah.
So, well.
Unfortunately, that is a person in our head.
Yeah.
Us.
Yep, that's right.
I'm not a big fan of me for some reason. I will talk myself out of everything.
You know, I have some nights where I'm hitting some notes and I'm thinking I am still a rock star, but I'm not.
What's up?
Right. And then there's other ones where I'm croaking and I'm like, my goodness gracious. So I just have to warm up a lot longer than I used to.
Well, you sound good. Let's do the...
Sure, man. It's colorful. Luckily, it's only a couple chords, so I remember.
The show is over. Close the storybook. There will be no encore. And all the random hands that I have shook, well, they're reaching for the door. I watch their backs as they leave single file. But you stood stubborn, cheering all the while. And I know I can be colorful. Now I know I can be gray. And I know this loser's living fortunate. 'Cause I know you will love me either way. Most were being good for goodness sake, but you wouldn't pad to mine. You are more beautiful when you are awake than most are in a lifetime. Through the haze that is my memory, well, you stayed for drama, though you paid for a comedy. And I know I can be colorful. And I know I can be gray. And I know this loser's living fortunate. 'Cause I know you will love me either way. You love me either way. Look ahead as far as you can see. Well, we'll live in drama, but we'll die in a comedy. And I know I can be colorful. I know I can be gray. Yeah. But I know this loser's living fortunate. 'Cause I know you will love me either way. And I know I can be colorful. And I know I can be gray. And I know this loser's living fortunate. 'Cause I know you will love me. Love me either way. Ba ba da ba 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 da ba.
Nice.
That's a great song.
Dude, thank you.
Ah, my pleasure.
I love that. You know, I'm a... are you more of a tenor?
Depends on how much sleep I got. Depends,
yeah.
Yeah. I try to get up in a high tenor range, and I can get up there, but I can't hang up there.
I love that. But you're more of a tenor range. You're more of a high range. You're not singing deep and low.
No.
And I love, that's my favorite range. You know,
right.
You play guitar as a kid, you know, guitar is what led me to the bad place. You know, it's like, I want to play guitar,
right.
And this is part of it. And, you know, right. And I loved it. But as I've gotten older, and I still love guitar, but I'm a big fan of vocals.
Yeah,
I'm a big
too.
Fan of singers. And you know, I mentioned Eddie Vedder. Eddie Vedder will always be one of my favorite singers.
Sure.
You know, such a lifetime of Eddie Vedder. But I'm a, you know, I love the more of the high pitch. I love, mm-hmm. you know, Sebastian Bach, the singer of Skid Row, was
That's
always
way up there, huh?
Yeah, but he kept that, you know, he just kept it up in a higher range. I feel like there's a lot of more room to dance in that higher range.
Yeah, and it cuts through.
Yeah.
It has its drawbacks, too. Foreigner. I always remember this story from Foreigner. When Lou Graham first left, there was a guy that took his place named Johnny Edwards.
Yep.
And that guy, when I was playing the bars out in San Francisco, he was in a group called Northrop, and we opened up for them a couple times, and I used to just love talking to him and listening to him. And he got the gig for Foreigner. I went to a day on the green out in California.
Yeah.
And Foreigner comes out, and there's Johnny Edwards, the guy I was just talking to in a bar green room. Yeah. You know? And but I remember reading an interview with him, and he said something about every night, all those songs were way up high, and it was killing his voice. But that's what Mick Jones, the leader of Foreigner, that's what he wanted from Lou Graham, him, and the guy that's playing with him now. I forget his name. He's an 80s hair metal singer.
Yeah.
I can't think of his name, but that high thing kills your voice. You can't do that all night.
Well, and you don't. I mean, I saw Foreigner 4.
Mm-hmm.
That was that Urgent. Amazing album. And you don't. Uh-oh.
Urgent.
Yeah, yeah. You don't think of it as a high pitched note until you try to sing it.
Right.
And then you're like
night, every song.
Yeah, and then you're shut down.
See, I have my moments of brilliance, but most of the time I'm down here.
Yeah.
I can't hit that all night.
Well, I just like your range.
I appreciate it.
It's that 80s metal kind of range to me. I love it.
Well, it goes back to the Beatles, too. The whole reason I even play guitar is my friend Will in high school told me he could play Beatles songs. And I thought he was just full of baloney. And I said, prove it. So he came over to my house with his acoustic and his Beatles jumbo big note songbook and proceeded to change my whole life. It was, Mom, I need a guitar.
It's funny. I'm not a big fan of the Beatles, and I'm almost ashamed to say it.
No, there's nothing to be ashamed of. I know a bunch of people that say they don't.
But
like
I tell you, I just watched. I think Paul McCartney played at MetLife just maybe last two weeks ago, and it came up on YouTube, and he was playing, and you know, of course, I knew every song. So it's not that I loved. I didn't hate the Beatles.
Right.
It was a little not. I missed the Beatle bus a bit.
Yeah,
I loved Wings.
Yeah, me too.
You know, Wings was a great band. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, it's funny. You know, I was, my first song was Breaking the Law by Judas Priest.
Yeah,
that was
more.
I had a buddy, John, that lived over in Germany. And you know, back in those days, we would make mixtapes for each other and then mail them.
Yeah.
And one of the songs he sent over was,
Breaking the Law,
it was Judas Priest, Green Man Alishi, and Breaking the Law, that live stuff. And I was like, must get guitar. Must learn to play. And then Eddie Van Halen was my, you know.
Yeah, the king. Another goat.
Yeah, oh, my God.
Yep.
Well, let's do another original.
Sure.
I'm digging this, man. This is great. Thank you again.
It's my pleasure. Let's see here.
Are you busy this summer? Are you doing some gigs? Are you getting back into it?
Well, I just, like I said, I moved back last year. I took a break. Took us some time off. I was in a bad car accident in December of 2020.
Oh, no.
And that, along with the COVID gig situation, I'm like, I've had enough for a while.
I need a break.
Yeah. So I took a whole year off. I came back to it, and everyone's already booked through the year, through the summer, and I've hit up everybody, and people are tired of hearing from me, I'm sure.
Right.
Slowly but surely, they're coming back. So I'm starting to get some phone calls. Hey, are you available? Yep. Let's go.
Well, one day I hope we can make this podcast popular enough that when someone's on, you know, we can help them try to find.
That's great.
You know, we had Ian Bryant. He was my first guy. I met him at Lefty's. You know, he's in there playing. Went up asking if he could do a request. He's like, I don't know that one, but I know this one. And I'm like, I'll do it. And he did it. And I just fell in love with the guy. And his wife was sitting in the booth right there with his babies. And I'm like, you know, this is the hustle. And yep. I go, I need to get this. Do you know Jim Rizek?
Yeah, oh yeah, I knew. So, I've done a couple songwriter shows with him. Plus, I knew him from the B&B days. You know, the
Jim Rizek. He's just such a great guy, and he was doing. I had him on when I first started doing the podcast pre-pandemic, and I was such a fan of his. And then we started doing. I had like Hoochie Coochie, and I had a bunch of different people on the original Delaware Live podcast. And then I'm like, Jim, why don't you take this over? You're into this, and I mean, I was into it, but I was spread myself a little thin, you know.
Sure.
Before the reset, mm-hmm. And then the reset happened, and then I was like, and he, you know, of course, nobody's doing anything at that time, and so once we kind of got out of this, I'm like, I really want to get this going again, so maybe I get tied back up with Jim Rizek eventually, but but that's what it's about, you know, Ian Bryant. And then he came on the podcast, and then I reached out to some people, got a gig over at Missipillion Brewery over with Eric. Cool. And so, you know, one day,
that's
hopefully.
That's what it's all about, man, helping people out.
See if we can get some people working and providing.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, I go back pretty far with Jim.
He's a great guy.
Yeah. I was playing a place up in Pennsylvania, Village Tavern. It's long gone now, but I posted about it because I always, you know, promote my gigs. And I remember him saying, I played there 25, 30 years ago. Still around. So, yeah,
do you know Stretch, Ron Thompson?
Yeah, I do. But I haven't seen him in, my goodness, almost 20 years. The old Rehoboth music store?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Him and his brother?
See, so, Scrapple, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he's coming on the podcast Sunday.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. He's got a new band. I think he's doing something. I don't know if he's got Scrapple going again, but I was talking to somebody. She brought up how they used to play. What was the band that used to play at Irish Eyes a lot in the? We were just talking about it. I shouldn't have even said it because I knew this would happen.
Oh,
but
sure.
It's fun. What was this? He has the small engine place. Oh, Petty John.
I don't know.
I forget. But anyway,
I didn't gig too much in the Rehoboth area.
Those are the good old days.
Non-playing days, you know, when before Saul kicked me in the butt.
Well, so. Ron will be here on Sunday, so you can check that podcast out.
I have a funny memory with it because you brought it up. You're reminding me of all these hair metal days. When I first moved to Rehoboth 20-some years ago, I took all my hair metal equipment into Ron and traded it in for a new guitar. So all my hair stuff I played out in San Francisco in the hair metal days, traded it to him for a new G&L Tele.
That's
crazy.
So funny because I went to B&B and traded in my Gibson Explorer for a ticket to Albuquerque, which was a waste of money and time.
Wow. Oh my goodness.
But it was a purple Explorer. It was weird.
It'd probably still be worth some money, huh?
Yeah. I don't know.
A Gibson. Man, oh man.
All right. What you got for us?
Let's see. Here's one. I was reading this story, a short story by Flannery O'Connor. And
Flannery.
Yeah. It was a short story that she never finished. And for some reason, these people put it in this book. They shouldn't have because it was unfinished. And it made no sense because it was unfinished. But there was a great line in there. And it was about this old money family that was falling apart. And the son who should have been taking it over was just a ne'er-do-well. Mm. That's it. There's a word we don't say much.
Yeah.
Just didn't have any goals in life and was just a lazy person. And they had a big tragedy in the family. And the mother said, this might just be the ruin that gets him going. And I had a friend who was just falling on hard times, and everything they did turned to crap. Mm-hmm. And they were getting desperate. And, you know, these days people post that stuff on social media when they should be going to, like, a counselor or a family or something. And I was reading all this stuff, and it made me think of they had a really big hit bottom. And I'm thinking maybe this will be the ruin that gets them going. So it made me think of that short story. So I wrote a song about it.
Nice.
But we'll keep the names
unfinished.
Under wraps, right.
You find it hard to plan your day with one foot in desire, one in need. So you play the game of making a living, but not a life. All around stars are swirling, hoping one will dance with you. Then you think to yourself, this dream is never coming true. So on down the road, adding years to your life, but no life to your years. Starving yourself from the hunger in your heart. But you've got more than one mouth to feed and more than just your tears. Choices haven't made a right one yet. Mistakes as souvenirs. And with no sound, no fury,
You watch the hourglass empty. Well, this might just be the ruin to bring you home again. Oh, it might just be the one thing to make you come alive. You carry on going nowhere, don't know which way to turn. To prevail, to conquer, you've lost all concern. Well, you let fear rule the day, but fear drives away beauty and truth. Well, the truth is, there's beauty in the pain as the pruning yields more fruit. But still no sound, no fury. You watch the hourglass empty. Another heartbreak, another big mistake, another right choice you didn't make. I hope, oh, well, it might just be bring you home again. And it might just be the one thing that makes you come alive. Well, it might take just this ruin to bring you home again. And it might just be the one thing to make you come alive. This time. Whoa. 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 Make you come alive.
There we go.
Dude, I love that. Cool. That is fantastic, man.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
You know, there's a phrase that you said in there, the beauty and the pain.
Yeah.
You know, there's, you know, I love to say it, you know, I don't feel like I'm living unless I'm sort of suffering.
Right.
And, you know, we mentioned a little bit about sobriety, mm-hmm. and, you know, I'm sober, you're sober. And, you know, I didn't learn really that kind of understanding of that term until I found sobriety. And because I'd lived this life that was only about if it didn't, I only wanted to do things that didn't hurt, right? I only wanted to do things that, like, served me, that pleased me. And I didn't really understand the gift of the struggle. Right? The pain, you know, the suffering, you know, the humility that, that is needed and that is created. And, you know, that's a great message. I love that. That was awesome. Is your music on Spotify?
I'm everywhere.
Are you on Spotify? Yeah, can I find that song on Spotify?
That one, not yet, but you will in a few months.
Oh, my God. Yep. That's.
But it'll
is...
be a full band situation. It won't just be acoustic, but yes.
I don't know, man. Yeah. That was sweet. I like that acoustic version.
Very cool.
Maybe you can
maybe
do an acoustic.
Put that up there, too, but...
Well, you know, when you get that up, let me know because I'll bring this music to the Discovery Music Podcast.
That's wonderful. Well,
that's good music. That
segue.
Is a good song.
Oh.
Original song, that was great.
I appreciate
great message.
You saying that.
And I think it's an important message that we have right now, especially kind of what we've come through.
Yep. Well, you know? I'm a horrible salesman. I'm a good singer and a guitar player, but horrible salesman. So right now I'd be getting a poke from my wife. Tell them about your music. So I do have a new song called The Blue Light that's coming out Friday. I think midnight Friday. It'll be everywhere. Spotify, iTunes. I have an EP out there that came out 6 years ago, and I have about 5 singles.
Okay.
You can find me everywhere. Every streaming service you can imagine. I think I'm on about 27 streaming services.
Well, and you know, if you have a great product, it's not as hard to sell.
Right.
And you have a great product.
Aw, I appreciate that.
No, you do.
Listen, the cream rises to
the top. I'm not gaslighting you. That's a good song. I've heard, you know, you know, gigging out there, you know, you have a lot of people that just do original or cover music, mm-hmm. which is, you know, like you said, that's where the money's at. Right. That's what people want. They would like to reminisce and think about the old days. But
yep.
the struggle is to take an original song and fall in love with it right away.
Right.
You know, you have to. I mean, even some of my favorite bands, when their new album comes out, I'm like, ooh, I don't know about this one.
Right.
You know, but over time, it burns itself into you, and you're like, right. okay, I actually like it. That was a great song. No, I really like that.
That's very kind of you. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Everything
goes back to Saul. You know, it's just that he was the one who said, you need to be writing, you need to be writing. And then he just opened up a Pandora's box, I guess.
How important is it to have a person like that? A mentor? Could we call Paul Saul a sort of a mentor?
Without a doubt.
Okay.
But let's just cut right to the chase. If it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be sitting here with you right now. Because I would never have started writing again. I probably would not have started gigging again. I still played, so I still have my chops. I could play and sing, but it wasn't, you know, out in the public. It was in my bedroom. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I wouldn't be here right now if it wasn't for him. And he's probably going, oh, shush, man. I know Saul. He's just a kind person. And he'd be like, oh, be quiet. But it's the truth.
Well, and Matt Haley was like that for me. You know, Matt passed away, but Matt was that guy, you know. I remember I was like, gosh, I'd like to open my own salon. Meh. He's like, do you want to open a salon or not? And I'm like, he goes, if you want to open a salon, let's do it. If not, then shut up.
Oh.
And I'm like, well, I do. And he, you know, pushed me to the right people over Community Bank or Preston Shell, you know, who I've had on the podcast.
Right.
You know, if it wasn't for a guy like Matt and, you know, even him being gone for the last 8 years, I still think about the things he would tell me, back
wonderful.
Then. Yeah.
Thank
so
God
it's,
for him, man.
Yeah, it's a great to have. You know, are we always available for the message, though? Can we get out of our own way?
Right.
Right? When Saul or a Matt shows up in our lives and says, listen, you do it. And then there's that, you know, that one side on your shoulder that's like, as soon as he leaves, we'll talk about it. You're
right.
Like, wait a minute.
Deep in my addiction, I was not available for that message.
That's right.
And he had a heart-to-heart with me one time and said he called me and I was out of my mind.
Yep.
And that hurts my heart thinking back on it now. We can't live in the past. We got to move on.
Yep.
But it hurts my heart that someone that was so kind and supportive of me that I'd let him down. You know, it's hard to, you know, we're driving down the road. My buddy's a truck driver, and he tells me he does long hauls. And he tells me he'll be out on this long stretch of highway, and all of a sudden he'll think of something that he did many years ago. And it's like someone kicks you in the stomach, you know. And I know that's one of those times, you know. So
well,
we got to keep
moving. I think that's what I love about sobriety the most is the ability to recognize that and then, you know, handle it and move it on. Move it on.
Plus, being sober, you never have to worry about those moments.
What was that, the phrase in there? You said living in the need? It was in the beginning of the song. It's like you're either living in the need or... Because I've always heard, you know, you can't live in the... You can't have one foot in the present... Or no, you can't have one foot in the future... And one foot in the past, because that means you're pissing all over the present.
Yeah.
And you said something, you phrased something early on, you can't, in the beginning of the song. It doesn't matter. I loved it. I loved that, you know, because it was...
Oh, you plan your day with one foot in desire and one in need. So,
yeah.
You know, you know what you need in life, and you know where you should be going.
Right.
Your heart's going this way.
Right.
You know.
And that kind of takes you out of the present.
Right.
I love that.
And are you doing the right thing? There's nothing wrong with following your heart. Believe me, once again, I wouldn't be here if I wasn't following my heart.
Sure.
But you also need to be making the right decisions and not hurting people, you know. And in addiction, you're usually hurting someone, including yourself.
Yeah.
So.
Well, listen, and I always say if there's anybody out there struggling, you know, there is an easier, softer way.
That's right.
You can reach out to me. I will share my story anytime.
That's right.
And we're always taking on... new members.
Yeah, we're always supposed to be available for anybody who's hurting. You know,
that's my only job now.
Yeah, man, you're a good man.
No, if I don't do that job, I'll be joining them.
Right. Yeah, that's
so
right.
That's a good, you know, keeps me inconvenienced.
Yeah, and we had someone who was that person for us.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
Got to pass it on.
So you have you have another song, a new song, or what were you saying?
Yeah, and I actually brought a copy of it. I don't know if it's something you can play on your show or not, but
I can play.
It's a full band thing.
Okay.
It's a song called The Blue Light. And
The Blue Light.
It will be out on Friday.
I can't play it right this second.
That's okay.
Yeah, but I can play this.
Yes.
I can stream it in.
Yes, and it's more of a rock song, so it might not translate well on acoustic, but I'm happy to play any other songs for you. But I'm excited for this one.
No, you play whatever.
One of the things the COVID, the whole pandemic shutdown situation taught me was I've always been into recording all the way back since the early 80s.
Yeah.
I've always had a recording studio. And my skill set was really based back in the 80s and 90s, and times have changed. And so when I couldn't gig, I started taking all these classes to renew my, refreshing my memory on how to do it properly with the new modern technology.
Yeah.
You could record, Led Zeppelin 4 in your bedroom now with the technology. You still have to have talent, don't get me wrong.
Dude, I remember trying to use a 4-track with a cassette.
Yep, I had them.
Brutal. And it was probably top of the line.
Right. But I did get pretty proficient back in those days, but the new technology, I was not. So I couldn't gig, I couldn't play at church. So I just took all these classes and courses online, how to get better at doing that. And this is all me, except for my buddy, Jarvis Barnes. He's a drummer I played with in the Rehoboth area for many years in a jazz band, and we played in pit bands, orchestras. He moved to Los Angeles, and he's a professional touring around drum musician. He's a session musician, and he also tours with big-name acts. I think he was just in New York City not too long ago. But so what I do is I create a project in Logic, do the basic tracks, send the project to him over the internet. He records his drum parts in Los Angeles, sends it back to me, and I just fill in the gaps from there. And so this one is full on, me and Jarvis. I'm doing everything but the drums. So,
but we'll have to, I'll have to figure out how, because usually we just stream in from Spotify, so I'll have to figure out how to get that.
Gotcha. Midnight, Friday, it'll be on Spotify.
Oh, supposedly. Midnight on Friday?
Yeah.
This song?
Yep.
Well, can I just wait?
Sure.
No, because I want to be able to... I'm going to bring your music in.
Oh, that's awesome.
But I want to bring, what was the other song? Is that going to be on Spotify at midnight too?
It will, but no, that song's not going to be out for a couple months. I've got one, here's what I'm doing. So a couple months ago.
I do have a version of it. I wouldn't do that.
You're more than welcome to play it. I just give you my permission.
Thank you.
Feel free.
I love that.
About 3 months ago, I said, you know what I'm going to do? And this goes back to what you said earlier about when we were so... what's the word? Committed to our groups and our albums.
Loyalty.
People aren't buying albums anymore. They're buying singles. Yeah. Or they're not even buying. They're streaming.
Yeah.
And so I said, you know what? I'm going to put out a single a month for 6 months straight and see what happens. So Blue Light is the second one. It'll be out on Friday. That song that you like is going to probably be the fourth or fifth one.
Mm.
So it may not be for a while. So it's going to be big. It's going to be big and grand, I'm sure. It's going to be great. But you feel free to play this acoustic version.
I love that song. So. I love, the music was fine. I love the words. I love the writing.
Yeah.
I love, if I can have, if I can come away from a song and go, wow, that made me think. There's nothing, I like all music, but, some artists will kind of repeat the same thing over and, just kind of take advantage of the fact that I like the band. But, when there's actual thoughtful writing going on and
a story
and I reminisce or I could, put myself in the place of the person that's singing and kind of live it or have lived it, that's music.
Yeah.
That's...
I like a story.
I love a good story. And
you know what else? I like reading credits, too.
Oh, bro.
Those days are
Are the days, right? I'm like, who James Hetfield like?
Yes.
In this, and you go through them and they'd all have nicknames.
Right.
The Hammer.
I wanted to know who produced, engineered, mixed, did the strings. I remember sitting as a kid reading those Elton John records and things like that, seeing who played what on where. Those days are over.
Dude, we were starving.
Yeah.
Starving for information. I used to read the back of cereal boxes.
We're two of a kind, man. I gotta tell you,
we landed at the same time.
Yes, no doubt. I do the same thing. I just information.
More so. Information. What is the color 40? Red 40 in this tricks.
But now I'm so old, though. I'm on FIFO, first in, first out. I'm full. My brain is. It can't handle too much information. I got to get rid of some first.
No, I love it.
I need to run defrag on my brain.
Well, I can plug in. This board does a lot of stuff. Defrag.
Right.
All right, let's play this last one, and
then
we'll get you out of here.
All right.
And thank you again, man. This has been such a joy.
It's been a blast, and I appreciate not only being on, but what you do, because we need people to do this,
Let's do it.
Oh, that's just wonderful.
I'm on. I'm in. I'm down.
I'll finish with a little simple ditty. I was playing a bar, and someone requested John Mayer.
Mm.
And
what a surprise that guy turned out to be, right?
How
initially... I was like, well, I kind of, you know, back to this, one of his first live albums is just all teenage girls screaming.
Right, screaming.
And yep. I was like, eh. But that what, I mean, he's like a moment in time.
Right.
He is that good.
Yep.
Big fan of John Mayer.
Yeah, good guitar player too. He can great. He can play, you know, which is kind of right off the bat. I'm sold there because he can play. So, but he's aging. He's aging well, like wine.
Thank God, right? So I don't want to be the only old person.
Right. He's not writing songs of those little girls anymore. No. You know? And he knows it too. He's smart. So he's a good guy. I was playing a bar and a girl asked for this song. She said, you know John Mayer? And I said, yeah. And I used to do Dreaming with a Broken Heart. When you're dreaming with a broken heart. And anyway, as I'm singing it, I started thinking about the lyrics that I was singing. And he's dreaming of some girl that left him, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, that man has been with every woman in Hollywood. This song's not true. He, you know, every girl in the world wanted to be with him at one point, and I was thinking of how fake the song was. Like maybe there was one girl that really broke his heart, and he's pining over her, but I don't think so. And I immediately started thinking of a song idea, but it morphed into something that's just kind of scary, wacky. Actually, it's someone who just made up a lover. And they don't even exist, but they made it up in their head. And so, anyway, so a John Mayer request turned into some crazy song.
Well, and you know, sometimes it's the beautiful girl or beautiful guy that ends up sitting home alone.
Right.
Because they're so amazing that nobody wants to ask him out because they're too afraid.
You're right, right, right.
So there may be some, he may be the loneliest guy in the world.
That's his next album title.
Can you imagine being good looking and talented? You're
and
done.
Lonely.
You're lonely.
I don't know. You're a lonely person. But maybe he can't go anywhere. Maybe he gets mobbed wherever he goes. So
well, and you imagine what that world's like of all the people that just want to be, you know, part of you because you are John Mayer.
Right.
And the authenticity of people. That's got to be I'm glad I never made it to the top. I don't know if I'd have ever would have made
try
it.
I'd try it for a day.
Yeah, one day. Right now, buddy, I feel like I'm at the top. And that's part because you're here. So thank
you. That's awesome. Aw, man, you're too kind. My goodness.
All right. That's not making... I'm not making that up either. I'm not John Mayer-ing you. Mayer-ing you.
John Mayer-ing's now a verb.
Yeah, he's
did
an action
Did he just
John
Mayer me?
Dude.
All right, go ahead.
Sorry. All right.
We keep our distance. Keep us close. We shut our senses down to stay in touch. We turn our eyes away to see clearly. The words were spoken, we've said enough. And time stands still. While the clock keeps ticking, and time is the enemy, frustrating, but the memories of these words remain. And I begged you to stay, but you were never here. Yeah.
keep our distance, never close. Senses shut down, never touch. And eyes turn away so clearly. No words were spoken, I've said enough. But the memories of these words remain. Lover, please don't go. I held you so tightly, and I begged you to stay, but you were never here. Lover, please don't go.
Nice. That was excellent.
That is available online. You can find it on Spotify, iTunes. It's called Lover, Please.
Well, listen, man, thank you. Thank you so much. It was fun and great chat and great music. So thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Made my day, man. This is awesome. Thank you.
So check him out, Paul Donovan. You can find him on Spotify. Well, as soon as the new music, iTunes,
you name it. It's
you name it, right.
Yeah.
And as soon as you get your new songs and some stuff out, I'll play it on. I'll bring it on.
Wonderful. Maybe I'll send you some links.
Yeah, we'll try to get you maybe on that podcast.
Cool. Anytime. You can call me anytime.
All right, brother. Well, listen.
Thank you. Thank you for what you do.
What's your Instagram?
Instagram.com/Paul Donovan. PAULDONOVAN.
And Facebook? Same.
I think it's P. Donovan.
Okay.
PD Music, something like that. My website is Paul-Donovan because somebody in Europe owns Paul Donovan and he's not selling it. So Paul-Donovan.com.
I don't like that Paul Donovan. That is not the Paul Donovan that I like.
Right. And sometimes Spotify lumps me in with another Paul Donovan. It's not me. There's two. There's one guy that just does like spiritual music and another guy that does EDM, dance music.
Wow.
And sometimes I get associated with them, but it's not me.
All right. Well,
all right, my friend.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much, and we'll talk to you later.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.